Welcome to Clickbait and Switch, a marketing podcast that tries to cut through the bullshit and hook you up with what you need to know, what you don't, and what stories should be getting more love than they're getting. I'm Mark Delinsky. On the other mic is Gisella Slizer. Today, we have a special episode covering a single topic, wearables, but specifically wrist-based tracking devices. So wearables, what are we talking about here? The whole Internet of Things, we're talking wearable technology, specifically the ones that are worn close to and are on the surface of the skin. Obviously, this, we're talking like the watch-based wrist-based type of wearables. We're going to take a quick look at the history of wrist-based wearables, discuss some of the emerging trends, and end up discussing what this is all really about, your data. Now, a very brief history, possibly with some errors in timelines, but who knows? Because it all started with fitness, and honestly, with more elite athletes, it was a very expensive thing to start. As sort of a quick start, as we were researching this, we looked at Timex, you know, obviously known for the Iron Man watch, takes a look and keeps on ticking, all that good stuff, but they're one of the earliest. Interesting, in 1994, a watch was co-developed with Microsoft. And it was the Timex Data Link. So they were looking to find something that these personal digital assistants at the time, your sort of Palm Pilot style things, didn't have. They wanted water resistance, easy programmability. And in 1994, it was demonstrated by Bill Gates in a presentation where he downloaded information from a computer monitor using bars of light and then showed the audience these downloaded appointments and other data. This is in 1994. And these early models were, at the time of their introduction, the only watches to bear a Microsoft logo. And they were certified by NASA for space travel. They've been used in space missions. So this is back in 1994. So we think like Apple Watch, wow, coolest thing ever. Number 6 is out this year, all this sort of stuff. Back in 1994, Timex was doing some cool stuff with astronauts. So let's put that all in perspective. Like, this has been going on for a long time.
Yeah, that's crazy. And it's so interesting to learn that it was Microsoft that started this whole movement in a way.
Especially because they've been such a non-player for so long in this, but they were one of the first.
Yeah, I wonder why they stepped back. But at the same time, Mark, we also had stuff like Garmin, right? That was being used by, well, by divers underwater, but also by hardcore runners with that little belt they used to put on your chest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, we began to see apps. So there were all these like sleep apps that you can sleep with a phone under your pillow and it would measure your movements and give you some data on your sleep. All the other apps about running, like I remember using something like Coach to train for a half marathon and it gave you all these training programs, but it was mostly only around one specific sport. And then we started to see memberships. Then we saw Jawbone. Remember Jawbone?
Yeah, around 2008, Jawbone shows up.
Yeah, that didn't last very, very long. And then right away, almost into 2009, we started to see the first Fitbit. I think you still have one, right?
Yeah, I have one of the old Fitbits, yeah.
So that was more or less the beginning of it. And then it became, I think the game changer was really the Nike Fuel Band.
Absolutely.
It was really good looking, in my opinion. But it also was the first one to come up with a sort of point system.
Yeah, the fuel points, right? And it tracks it on your wrist and the little lights, you built it up. It's basically what Fitbit was doing either after or slightly before, but that whole tracking with lights was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's really like, to put the fancy words that we were saying offline, it democratized the data of fitness.
And it also gamified it in a way, right? Like you could look at these lights growing and you're like, oh, I've done more exercise today based on whatever metric a fuel point was.
Mm-hmm, totally. And interestingly, at that time, Tim Cook had already been part of the Nike board.
Yeah, from 2005. Tim Cook, our little Apple friend.
Yeah, super interesting. And the Nike Fuel Band kind of disappeared. We still see the app. We had like the Nike Run app, which is now, I think, Nike Run Club.
Yeah.
And it was all combined with actual Nike Run Clubs in cities. And all this time, Tim Cook has been part of the board. And he's actually said to kind of replace the founder of Nike in the board.
Phil Knight, yeah.
Yeah, he retired back in 2016, I think.
Yep.
So now Tim Cook kind of silently and diplomatically took his face with a different name. I think he's the lead independent director of the board, whereas the founder was the chairman of the board. But all this to say that we have the Nike Apple Watch. That was the first generation of Apple Watches, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah. So then we get in the situation where Nike Fuel Band creates this really cool wrist-based stylish technology, but then kind of fades away. You then see, you know, in its natural evolution, sort of get incorporated those type of elements into the Apple Watch. So then simultaneously at this point in time, so we're talking around 2016, Apple Watch launched in the spring of 2015. But at this point, you start seeing all the big players get into this sort of wrist-based fitness tracker. So you got Apple and its watch. You have the Nike version of the Apple Watch. You have Google then purchasing Fitbit, who had grown massively over this time as well. And then as you keep going, you now have Amazon is getting into the game with its own Halo wellness brand. So now you've got Apple, Google, and Amazon all playing in the same arena. And you've still got things like Whoop, which is an independent and has had massive inroads into things like the NFL. They had a partnership with the NFL this year for their training camps and everything. And it's interesting to see these big, huge mega players, you know, in this one space. So where are we going to go from here?
And really combining, this is partly where I think we're going to go, health with fitness. So you have like Amazon diving into health and healthcare and pharmacies and all that sort of stuff, and also getting into the wristband wearable watch thing, whatever it is. Also, side mention for fun, little confession that I made to you, Mark, offline. As you know, I live with a gamer, somebody who enjoys video games very, very much. And for that reason, we have at home a Nintendo Switch. And my partner bought something called the Ring Fit Adventure, which helps you do fitness inside. And it's like a gamified version of fitness, but it's actually pretty challenging. It's really cool. But the whole reason why I'm bringing this up is because we have Amazon getting into wearables with the Halo Band. They also own Twitch. Imagine if they were somehow to connect fitness and health and gaming all together with that huge audience that everybody's trying to tap. I think that's something to look out for.
Because this year, obviously, with the pandemic, health and wellness was at the forefront of our lives the entire year. So there's been a lot of people getting into the wearable device game. You know, from a consumer standpoint, there's been a 30% increase compared to last year, which is huge. And it's this massive industry. The size of the smartwatch market alone has ballooned to a $13 billion industry over the past 3 years. But what's interesting is you have all these people, especially the Apple Watch. The Apple Watch is really veering into this almost medical sort of realm with all of its different monitors and sensors. It's a fascinating device. And if we see sort of Amazon looking at, you know, getting into pharmaceuticals as well as healthcare and with its own band, Apple Watch is kind of like its own sort of very high level doctor tracker on your wrist.
Yeah. And Apple already has all this. It has this app that's been on the phone for a few years already, like your health app, where it tracks different things and you can have an emergency contact.
Yeah. The fall detector for senior citizens. It's got the ECG. Yeah.
It's become like from a fitness tracker. Well, it has roots, I think, in GPS and probably back in the army, which we didn't mention, but it went from that kind of tool to a more, I don't want to say elitist, but like sports elitist kind of fitness tracker to everybody tracks their fitness. And now it can really become a life-saving device.
Yeah. And you're talking about aging populations, especially in North America, massive health issues. You see the politicization of healthcare in the US all the time in the news. It's definitely a way that business has gotten into the healthcare game, you know, sort of quietly.
Yeah. Not to mention that everybody started doing sports this year at home. Everybody became a runner after making all the sourdough. So a lot more people were interested in wearables.
Well, yeah, and it's like the Apple Watch really, you know, it promoted their oxygen monitoring, which, you know, when you get COVID-19, one of the things they say that your oxygen levels drop in your blood. And so then they start promoting this, oh, we have this oxygen monitoring system, which is available in one way or another in different Garmin devices and different Fitbit devices. But it was kind of like, hey, this is kind of good for COVID, but we're not going to say it's like for COVID. Just like our ECG machine isn't necessarily replacing a heart doctor, but hey, you can track your actual pulses of your heart. It's fascinating.
Yeah. But you know where I think it's missing? Like we have fitness, we have physical health, not really mental health, but all these watches also offer you like
the mindfulness.
Yeah, the mindfulness. We have that element. There's no nutrition element that I'm aware of. I mean, I think the Fitbit offers recipes and stuff like that in your membership.
Yeah. And you can also track your food, kind of like the MyFitnessPal tracker with the Fitbit. And I think there's probably Apple ones as well.
I don't know. I feel like that has to be more seamlessly integrated to get a full picture.
Absolutely.
But this whole thing under the guise, well, it's true that it can be life-saving and it can really change your life and remind you to breathe or to work out. But really, this whole thing, Mark, is about data.
Of course it is.
ultimately, it's a huge marketing tool.
Absolutely. And I'm absolutely 100% paranoid about all of this.
Yes.
We've had side conversations where I am completely like, they know they're following us through our phones and tracking everything we do. And now they're going to have what, our biometric data as well.
So imagine right now, Amazon knows, for example, you willingly will tell it if you have a Halo band that you went for a bike ride and then you went to yoga and then you tell it what you ate and how many calories. And now, oh, surprise, Amazon has all this information and knows exactly what to sell you.
Yeah. And you're already using them to buy whatever it is you're buying on Amazon anyways. They have your buying history before. They know your tendencies. They know your budget.
Yeah. So it's a little creepy, but at the same time, it kind of works, right?
It's great for advertisers.
It's great for advertisers. It's convenient for shoppers.
Yeah. It's getting them the products they want and desire anyways.
Yeah. We just have to keep in mind to continue seeking out new brands and new things outside of what is recommended to us.
Anything else you want to add to this?
One last thought. We used to say, Mark, that if the product is free, you are the product, right?
Yeah.
But we're ushering a new era, I think, where we are paying to be the product and not necessarily getting money in return. So I think the next big question for everyone to ponder over these holidays while we're quarantining and not doing anything other than eating and sitting on our couches and maybe running and
using your Fitbit and Apple Watch.
Yes, trying to reach the 10,000. The next big question is, how much do we believe our data is worth?
Or are you already just satisfied with having more tailored ads, more tailored products, a more seamless experience? Is that worth it to you for all the data that we are giving away?
That's it.
Yeah. Obviously, this one is definitely only our opinions, not those of our overlords at Cloudraker and Altavia.
Give us a rating.
Enjoy your new fitness tracker that most of you will be receiving. We're going to be taking next week off, but we'll kick off 2021 with Gisela's crystal ball. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.